This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day, 30 minutes of your Friday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to hear the last part of this message. This was a long sermon, some 55 minutes. That's how we're able to get three broadcasting days out of this sermon. And it's one of the most important messages I think that God's ever given me. How to endure, how these saints of old endured trials like they did. I mean, they had serious trials. Think about the early Christians that were fed to the lions, were dipped in oil and lit on fire to light that crazy Nero's arena. How did these guys endure the tribulation that they had? And I just think of the Lord saying, in this world, you will have tribulation. So that's what we've been looking at. If you'd like a copy of this, you can write to me, paul@wgodradio.com. You can download the app. It should be on there. This is a sermon from last year, but it should be on there. Or else write to me, and I'll be glad to send it to you. Or go to my website, wgodradio.com. Click on the prior broadcasts link, and you'll find it up on there as well as 9 years worth of broadcasts up there. This weekend, we are having Holy Communion at the church, and I'm going to be preaching on the false prophet. The second sermon out of this series, Understanding Eschatology, which is the study of end times, is this mysterious, well, I don't know how mysterious he is, but he's an evil, deceptive man, the false prophet. Personally, I think he's going to call himself Elijah. We know he's going to deceive people into who he is by the signs, and he calls fire down out of heaven. Now, that hasn't been done since Elijah did it. 2 Kings chapter 1 and 2, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 37, you read about Elijah, this man who never died, calling fire down out of heaven. So that's where we're at this Sunday morning. I invite you to Island Community Church. We're going to have a high time in the Lord. We're going to also, again, partake of Holy Communion the right way. It's going to be an awesome service, and I invite you to take part of it with us. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Sunday morning, 10:30. Follow us on Facebook also at 10:30, Island Community Church Facebook page. If not, you'll hear it on the radio here coming up next week. If you're already committed to another church, I'm glad that you are. No better place to be than in the house of God on a Sunday night, Sunday or a Wednesday night. Okay. Here's the last part of this message again, the winning mindset.
You see, in the face of trouble, what did they do? Number one, they prayed. Number two, they sang songs to God. Also notice that the unbelievers were watching, and it's just like it is today, friends. Satan's prisoners are watching you to see if your response is going to be what your response is going to be to all the world's troubles out here, or the personal life and trouble that you're going through. You see, not only will the winning mindset get you through trials, but it'll save your friends too. It'll save your friends too. So this is what happened in my own family. You know, when my brother asked me once, he says, why are you different than my other brothers? You don't wear a mask. You seem to trust in God now, you see. You can stick a knife in me if you want and say, well, look what happened to you, fool. And I'd say, yeah, look what happened to me, fool. Maybe in your eyes I might have been hurt, but not in God's eyes. This is not going to happen to me again in God's eyes. Who knows what's going to go on here on terra firma in the next couple years? The Bible says, Jesus says, one of the greatest signs you'll know his return is near is when the whole world's full of pestilence. And this old boy is ready for the next round of pestilence. Thank you. Good testimony, bad testimony. And that is, no matter what happens, God is just like these guys. They said, but if not, if we still die for holding on to what we believe, God is still going to deliver us. Just like these guys here singing. The Philippians could have killed them. It didn't matter. They trusted in God anyway. It doesn't matter what happens. It's the same with you. It doesn't matter what happens. You trust God. Hold on to what you believe if you think it's right. I said, hold on to what you believe if you think it's right. God's made you intelligent. You do not have, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Hold on to what you think is right. I believe what I did was right, even though I got sick for it. And maybe I was wrong. But God turned it around for my good. I'll tell you that. Maybe I was wrong. Write me down as wrong. Write me down. But God turned it around for good. And God's taken my biggest errors and mistakes in my life and has turned them around for good. My greatest victories have come about through errors. And mistakes, and sometimes even sin, that he took and he turned around and turned it around for his glory. That's what he does. That's what he does. Always. Yes. Haven't we learned that, Pastor? Always. Do you trust God like that? Regardless of the outcome of what happens in your life, do you trust God like that? That, but if not, if God does deliver you, or if he doesn't, God is faithful and he's got your back. When I ordained this associate pastor here, I whispered in his ear. He'll tell you what I said to him. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That is, don't think you've got this because you very well might not. But I'll tell you what, he's got it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's God. I trust you. I trust you through this. I don't know the way out. I don't know what to do. I'm tired of failing. But I trust you through this. You've got the answer. You know what to do. Hupomeno. Abide under the hand of God, and he will deliver you through whatever it is that you're going through. That's really my message. I mean, I don't know how much time. You guys want to look at a couple more, or does everyone want to go home? I'm not offended. Yeah, what are you doing next Sunday, friend? I'm going to turn on all these lights for your rear end. Okay. Next up, Apostle Paul's last words before he died. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Now, really, I promise you, we'll be done soon. If you guys would like to turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. You're noticing a common denominator in all of these people. They all were near death, and they all trusted God, regardless of the threat of what was going to happen to them. Okay, 2 Timothy 4:16. These are the last recorded words of the man who wrote 13 books of the New Testament. At my first defense, no one stood with me. They all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me. Now let me read this out of the NIV. It says, but the Lord stood at my side and strengthened me. Now I ask you, literal or figurative? I'd say that too, my dear wife. Literal. And I guess you're going to have to be there to find that out. What's required of you is that Indiana Jones man, when he's getting ready to cross over from that one side and he can't see what he's going to do with his right leg. That's what you got to do. You can't see it until you step on it. And then he took them rocks and threw them over there. You got to take the step first, just like Peter. Jesus called Peter out of the boat. In a storm, I wish your husband was here. 10 feet waves at 2 seconds. Come on, out of the boat. At 10 feet waves, 2 seconds. Come on, out. Got out of the boat, started walking to Jesus until he looked at his problems. Oh, I can't do that. I'll sink. At my first defense, no one stood with me. Everyone forsook me. May I not be charged against them. But the Lord stood at my side, and he strengthened me so that the message might be fully preached through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Look what he says next. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, just like Daniel. Just like 600 years later and 2,600 years ago from now. Same God. Trust in him through the storm and he'll see you through. Are you suffering with COVID at home? I've heard of 2 pastors today that have died from it. But God is faithful. And he will see you through whatever it is that you're going through. Paul said, I'd much rather die and leave this world and be with Christ. And if you're a Christian, that's your attitude too. You can't wait to go back home. It doesn't make the word of God of none effect. Or the faithfulness of God of anything less than what it is, regardless of the outcome. Then verse 18, Paul said, and the Lord will deliver me. I love that verse in 2 Corinthians. It says, we have got the sentence of death in ourselves, but we trust in God who raises the dead, who did deliver us, and he is delivering us, and in whom we trust, he will deliver us still. Past, present, and future. God's in the delivering business. Though you may die and leave this world, that doesn't make him any less faithful. That makes you having a better day. Let's get everything in perspective. If you die and leave this world, eye has not seen, nor is ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men that which God has prepared for those that love him. If you die and leave this world, that's a benefit, not a bad thing, not a bad thing. We've lost that, Darren. Paul had a quiet confidence and an inner peace that God was in control of his circumstances and that he would work everything out one way or the other. Okay, one more example. What sermon on the winning mindset would be complete without looking at David and Goliath? Let's flip back, Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now here, you've got 2 prevailing mindsets. Or let's call this the tale of 2 mindsets. every living soul on planet Earth at crunch time. You're either one of these two. Unless, of course, you're not Christian. If you're not a Christian, all is meaningless if you're not a Christian. Would you like God to have your back like this? That comes through Him writing your name on His hand, and He does that with His blood. First Samuel chapter 17. Here's the first mindset. Verse 23. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. And David heard him and all the men of Israel. Look at verse 24. 1 Samuel 17, 24, when all the men of Israel, it says, when they saw. You see that? When they saw the man, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Underline that or make a note of that. King James says they were sore afraid. And here's the other mindset. Verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what'll be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Do you see that? Look at the air of arrogance that he has, not in himself, but in the realization that God was for him. That's the difference here. Maybe this is when he penned Psalm 56, 9. This I know because God is for me. Could have been right here. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? But it's important to see here where the air of arrogance came from. Now look, let me turn here in my Bible. And still in 1 Samuel 17, and let's look at verse 34 and read from there. 1 Samuel 17, 34. It says, but David said to Saul, I'm trying to show you how David got this. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and I struck it. And I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Or since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. You see, God used this trial by osmosis to produce in David this God compound. David's air of arrogance came through abiding under the hand of God in the past, and him experiencing God's deliverance. God came through in his life. He didn't cut bait and run. He let God come through and gave him the victory. And that is what happened to David behind the scenes. Now he comes up to someone 9'6". And he might as well be 2 feet tall. because of what he had already gone. God had already showed and established himself as faithful to all of these guys that wrote all these scriptures. God is faithful, and he's faithful in your life too. Look at David's response and the spiritual fortitude inside this kid the moment he gazed up at Goliath. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You see, what comes to my mind is this: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look what he had on the inside of him. He already had it on the inside of him. You know, sometimes your heart will either betray you or glorify you with how you feel about someone. Sooner or later, you're going to speak up and you're going to let everyone know this is what he had inside of him. He had someone 9'6", and this was out of the abundance of his heart. The mouth speaks. From David's to Daniel's in the lion's den, to Shadrach and the others in the furnace, to Paul and Silas in prison, to Polycarp, bring forth what thou will, to Antipas, the answer is, do what you will, do what you will, do what you will, do what you will, because I am more than a conqueror through him. So what inspired these people to possess attitudes like this? I actually have an answer to that. What inspired these people to possess this attitude is two things. Number one, a deep trust in God. Number two, the belief that God would do what he said. He is faithful. He will do what he says. And for us New Testament believers, we could add a point number three to that. An inner peace that can only come through knowing Jesus Christ. Just like the man behind the curtain says, remember in The Wizard of Oz, you've got something they haven't got. You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. These guys didn't have that. You've got it. That's why John wrote, and we'll get to it in a couple weeks, in 1 John, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I'm down to 34. We got a couple more to go. Last thing, I'm going to be borrowing some of your pants coming up. Listen to Paul. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Listen to David. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? That's the winning mindset. This is what Antipas had when they put him into the bronze kettle. This is what the three Hebrew teenagers had in the burning fiery furnace. All these saints had the absolute conviction that God was on their side and that God would catch them when they jump. You know, like a father in a pool, right? And you got your kid out there and they're scared and you tell them to jump and they don't want to jump. But they trust you because you're their father. And you say, jump, and they don't care their surroundings. They trust their daddy, and they jump. And God wants you to know that he is going to catch you too. He's calling you to get out of the boat, and he's got your back. And if he's calling you to jump, believe that God will do what he says. All these saints had the absolute conviction God is on their side. How about you? Do you have that assurance that God is for you? Do you have that assurance that God will catch you? I guess I could ask the question, is God for you? John the Baptist said, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. None of this even matters if your name isn't in the book of life. Think about it. Abide under the... You and I, we are to abide under the hand of God. If your name's not in the book, you're abiding under the wrath of God. Talk about having a monkey on your back. That's where you stand without Jesus Christ today. Is your name in the book? None of this matters. Your death and the death of your family is meaningless if you are to part and leave this world and go to a place far worse than what's going on outside these church doors. Is your name in the book? How's your fortitude today? Do you trust in God like these guys did? Let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadow a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation is wonderful.